Good morning. It is again a delight to be with you. I'm going to tell you a secret this morning. You think John's going down to Ushuaia for ministry, probably. But I know why he's really going down there. And they swim in the streams. And they're about that big. I've been trying to catch one in our river for 4 years now, but I haven't caught one up there yet. People keep saying there's trout in there, but I haven't seen one up there yet, except somebody else's line from down the road. So, John, I know why you're going down there. It'll be enjoyable to be down there with him. How do you know that God is blessing someone? How is it that we can see that God is blessing them? That His power and strength and work is in their life? Is it because they're building cities or doing exploits? There was a passage, and I'm going to be looking at a passage in Genesis, if you want to turn there, the 49th chapter. Chapter 49, Genesis. In this chapter, Israel, Jacob, has gathered his sons around him. He knows that his time on the earth is to be short. Not that he hadn't lived a long life, he had, but he knows that his time was coming to an end on the earth. And he gathered his sons around him, and he was going to bless them. In fact, if you look at verse 28 of chapter 49, speaking of his 12 sons, it says that all these are the 12 tribes of Israel, and this is what their father said to them when he blessed them, giving each the blessing appropriate to him. So he knew his time was short on the earth, and he had gathered all his sons around him, and he was speaking to them that was appropriate, the blessing that was appropriate to their life. And just using some examples here, I'm not going to speak about all these blessings. I want to speak about one in particular. Speaking of Simeon and Levi there in verse 5, that their swords are weapons of violence and so on. I mean, I'm just showing you, I'm going to give you just a short little brief description here of each of these blessings. Speaking of Judah, your brothers will praise you, your hand will be on the neck of your enemies. And this is what the father's heart is speaking over each one of his sons and their life. The scepter would not depart from Judah, verse 10. Of Zebulun in verse 13, he'll live by the seashore and become a haven for ships. Issachar is a raw-boned donkey lying between two saddlebags. Dan would provide justice, verse 16, for his people as one of the tribes of Israel. Verse 19, Gad will be attacked by a band of raiders, but he will attack them at their heels. Asher's food, verse 20, will be rich, and he will provide delicacies fit for a king. Naphtali is a doe set free that bears beautiful fawns. Each one of these blessings, he is coming from Israel's heart as he blesses and speaks forth his word over his sons. Now, children want the blessing of their parent, of their parents. They want that. In fact, earlier Joseph had brought his two sons to his father, Israel, for Israel's blessing upon his two sons. That was the time he put one on one side and one on the other side, but Israel crossed his hands because he knew that this greater blessing would fall upon the younger, that he would rule over the older. But the point was that Joseph brought his sons to his own father for his blessing upon them, the words that he would speak over their life. He wanted that. And children want, probably not young children or teenagers, they're trying to figure the way their own way, and they're trying to get free from their parents most of their teenage years. But when they get a little older, they find that they are striving to please their father or their mother. They find in their life much of the time that their life is spent trying to be something that is pleasing to their father or their mother, to receive their blessing. Not that their father or their mother would bless them anyway, because they love them. But they find that. And so Joseph, having lived many, many years now without his father around him, having been sold into slavery and become the prime minister of Egypt, and many things happened in his life, and now he was laboring practically as the savior of the earth through the food program that he came forth with through the blessings of God, and had in fact produced food and created this food program in Egypt that actually saved his father. His father wouldn't even be there if it weren't for that, because they all would have starved up there in Israel. But now here they are, living down here in Egypt, where Joseph is second only to Pharaoh, and desiring the blessing of his father, bringing his two sons. And now all the sons gathered around, receiving from Israel, who was about to depart the earth, his final words and his blessing upon their life, what they would be, what they would receive, what they would become. So in the midst of these blessings, there are many blessings that will be powerful, strong in the earth. But I want you to look at this blessing upon Joseph, starting in verse 22. It says that Joseph is a fruitful vine. This is the father speaking forth as to what his son is and what his son will become and why. And he says that Joseph is a fruitful vine. A fruitful vine near a spring whose branches climb over the wall. Now, interestingly, Joseph had done a lot of traveling, by camel. He had been sold into slavery, and he had to travel all the way to Egypt in that caravan. But he says, but his life did not move physically on the earth from there. He basically stayed there and became fruitful. He was planted there, and he would become a fruitful vine, and he did, because he was a fruitful vine near a spring whose branches climb over a wall. A wall doesn't move. It is a fixed structure. And this man, Joseph, his father, is coming forth with these words that would be a blessing appropriate to his life, would be a vine that would grow up in a steady place, in a fixed place, and bear fruit. So much so that that vine would grow up over the wall and bear fruit. I remember one time in Hawaii, when we were living in a very tight neighborhood. Sometimes in Hawaii, I don't know if you've lived in a neighborhood like that, but you could sneeze in your living room and the curtains in the house next door would blow. I mean, there wasn't a lot of space between the houses in some of the neighborhoods. It wasn't really until later, the last 10 or 15 years we were there, they started building neighborhoods that maybe there was 10 feet between the houses instead of 5, but it was still tight. Anyway, in that narrow little place between the two houses, on one side, a bird planted a seed. I didn't plant it. Yvonne didn't plant it. It was a volunteer, and it was a vine, and it grew up on the fence, and it produced these, they used to call them tijonis. They're like these little green squashes. They look almost like the size of a pear, and it grew all down the fence. So I would come out and I would cut it back, being the great gardener that I am. I'm laughing. You ought to be too. Yvonne is the gardener, not me. But anyway, I cut that thing back. And within a short time, within less than a year, it had grown up over that fence again and just produced buckets full of these squash. It grew up over the wall, over the fence, and just kept producing. It was a fruitful vine that just kept bringing forth fruit and food for us and for anybody else that wanted to eat that particular kind of squash. And his father is saying of him that he would be this kind of a fruitful vine. That he would just be planted in that one spot. And that his life would be like a vine that just grew up over the wall and bore fruit. I think much of our struggle in life is because we think that God wants us to be city builders and nation builders. And we feel sometimes pressure. In fact, there are those that judge you as to whether or not you are building cities and building nations and doing great exploits. And I think it's because they just don't quite see it from God's perspective. They see it more from man's perspective. And they're looking at success as something that you can see by these great exploits in cities and things that a person does or doesn't do. But Joseph's father, Israel, is saying of him that he would be like a fruitful vine that would just be planted there next to the wall, and its fruit would just continue to bear and bring forth fruit year after year, and it would grow so much it would just grow up over the wall. This is the blessing of God on Joseph. Your life is going to be like a fruitful vine. You're just going to be planted right there next to that wall, and your fruit is just going to come forth. And that doesn't mean, if you look at verse 23, that there won't be any opposition. You see, we think sometimes that opposition comes because you're building cities and you're building walls. I mean, not walls, but great nations and just these great things in God, and therefore opposition comes against you. It does. But opposition is already there in life. There will be opposition in life, even if you're a vine planted by the wall whose fruit just grows up over the wall and just continues to bear. There will be, as it says here, with bitterness archers attacked him. They shot at him with hostility. So there would be opposition. There would be pressure and bitterness and hostility against just bearing fruit. If you're living, you know that there's opposition. If you're alive, you know that bitter things have happened in your life. And there have been things that have come against your ability to just bear fruit and bring forth fruit for the glory of God. Bitter things. Hostile things would come against Joseph in his existence, in his just being there to bear fruit and bring forth the glory of God. If you stop and think about it, Joseph really didn't do anything to become, it wasn't his goal when he was a young boy to become the prime minister of Egypt. He didn't start out and think, you know what I want to do when I grow up? I want to be the prime minister of Egypt. He just got planted over there, and then the events of life took forth as he just grew through the opposition and the hostility of Potiphar, and then the opposition and the hostility of being in prison. You know, you read those little passages very quickly, and you don't really see. You need to stop and think what it's like to be in a prison, especially in those days and in a place like that. They didn't have prisons like we have today where they can watch cable channel and they have great food and exercise rooms. I mean, no, it wasn't like that at all. But he grew through those oppositions and that hostility and those bitter events that took place in his life right from being sold by his brothers into slavery. He grew through those bitter events and those hostile events that came against him and bore fruit for the kingdom of God. So even though he would be blessed to become a fruitful vine and growing near a spring where he would draw resource and his branches would climb over the wall, there would be bitterness in his life and there would be hostility in his life. That's just the way it's going to be. But verse 24 says, but his bow remained steady and his strong arms stayed limber. So in spite of bitterness through some of the events of life, in spite of hostility coming against him through some of the events of life, he remained steady and strong. What would be the evidence that God had blessed him? That this blessing was happening in his life? He would be steady and strong. No matter what the opposition, no matter what the hostility, or how bitter it was, he just remained steady and strong and bore fruit that eventually grew up over the wall. Sammy today was talking about that one seed being planted and bringing forth hundreds. It is an eye-opener to put your one seed in the ground and then when the harvest time comes to see how many seeds that one has produced. It is an eye-opener. And so this is what would be his life. Steadiness and strength. His bow would remain steady. His arms would remain strong and limber. Why? Why would there be steadiness and strength? And what is it about that that is such a blessing? Aren't we not looking for those that build cities and those that build great nations? Isn't that the evidence of the blessing of God on a life? His father is blessing him and saying, here's the blessing of God in your life. You will be steady and you will be strong. No matter what the opposition or how bitter it is, when I look at your life, Joseph, what I'm going to see is steadiness and strength. You're going to be there bringing forth fruit no matter how bitter the opposition, no matter how hostile it is against you. The evidence of the blessing of God on your life is just going to be that you're going to be steady and strong. And all of that because the hand of the Almighty, because the hand of the Mighty One of Jacob, this is why you're going to be steady and strong. This is why you're just going to be planted right there next to that spring, bringing fruit over the wall year after year. Because the hand of the Mighty One of Israel is going to be with you. Now, we don't think of it that way. We think that the hand of the mighty one of Israel with those that are building cities and creating nations and doing great and powerful and very visible things. But his father is saying, if you look through all these blessings, this is such a beautiful one. You, Joseph, you're just going to be steady and strong. And that, in that steadiness and strength, he became a prime minister over an entire nation and saved his family. But you're just going to be steady and strong. And this is why. Because the hand of the mighty one of Jacob, because of that hand, the hand of God, is going to be with you to be steady and strong. Because of the shepherd, the rock of Israel. Because there will be a shepherd. We know that the shepherd is Christ, but we have under-shepherds too. And under-shepherds that labor and that feed us and feed us and feed us. And therefore, we are strong. We are stronger and stronger because we keep getting fed by the shepherds who are the rock of Israel. Your bow is going to remain steady, your arms strong and limber because of the hand of the mighty one of Jacob, because of the shepherd, the rock of Israel, because of your father's God who helps you, because of the Almighty who blesses you. You're going to be strong. You're going to be steady. Sometimes we want to be the one out there building cities and building great nations for God. But God, this blessing is, you're just going to be steady. You're going to be steady in your place, and in your place, you're going to bring fruit that grows over the wall. And all of that because of the mighty God who planted you there, who planted you, who put you in this very place next to this spring, next to this wall, so that your fruit would grow up and feed many. Because of your father's God who helps you, because of the Almighty who blesses you. And I want you to know something about these blessings. There's three listed there. He blesses you in verse 25, with blessings of the heavens above, blessings of the deep that lies below. Now, those two blessings are kind of general if you read them. Blessings from the heaven above. This is why you're going to be steady and why you're going to be strong. There's going to be blessings that come from above, from your God. There's going to be blessings that rise up from the deep by your God. But also, there will be blessings because, this is why you're going to be strong, because of blessings of the breast and the womb. What is that saying? That's the only specific one. Blessings from the heaven above is fairly general. Blessings from the depths, that's fairly general. But he says specifically here, because of the blessings that you will be blessed by the breast and the womb. What is that? That's a simple way of saying family. When people look at your life, Joseph, here's what's going to be important. Not that you built cities. Not that you built, created nations. But that you have been blessed from above, from beneath, and in your family. Blessings of the breast and the womb. You know, they asked Billy Graham, I think less than a year ago, one of those reporters asked him, if you had to do it over again, what would you do differently? Would you do anything differently? And of course, like most people that look at success from an earthly perspective, they probably had to be thinking, he's going to say something like, well, yeah, I would do this and I would do that, and instead of preaching to 50 million people like I did, I'd probably preach to 100 million if I did this and I did that. If you ask me what would I have to do it over when Billy Graham was asked, then I'm sure this reporter is thinking he's going to come up with some secret that if he had just done it that way, he could have reached 100 million people instead of just 50 million people. Now, the man reached 50 million. I mean, I don't really know how many millions, probably far more than that. And so they're asking him, if you could have done it over, what would you have done differently? You know what his answer was? He said, I would preach less. And I would have spent more time with my family. If I could do my entire life over, Billy Graham, the man who built nations in God, if I could do it all over, I would preach less and spend more time with my family. You probably noticed that God was doing something here related to families today. I think the Holy Spirit was saying something to us. What's really important? Where and how shall I really know that a life is blessed? Because of the blessing of the breast and the womb, because of family. Is it nation building? Is it building great cities for the glory of God? No, I'm going to bless you with family. Here is evidence of the blessing of God on your life, Joseph. You'll be blessed in your family. Interesting that a man such as Billy Graham, after 90 years of life and city building and nation building and organization building, who didn't see his sons and his children get raised because his wife was doing it alone in those mountains in North Carolina, who wasn't there for their ball games, who wasn't there for their victories and their failures and their defeats, who was out building nations and building cities for the glory of God, would come to this conclusion at the end of his life that if I had to do it all over again, I would do less of that and spend more with my family, with my children, with my wife, who he had just lost. I can imagine that the man is thinking, I'd give up. I would have let go of all of that to spend more time with my family. Where is a blessed life? What is the evidence of God's blessing on a life? It's really very simple. It's really quite simple. You will be strong and steady. Strong and steady. Now, in our lives as Christians, we struggle with wanting to be building cities and doing these great, glorious things for God. But as our brother said, you know, if no one steps into that gap, God will do it with his own strong right arm. He's not going to fail to build the cities. He's not going to fail that those exploits will come forth. But what is the evidence of God's blessings on a man's life? It's so simple. He is steady and he is strong. He has the blessings of the breast and the womb, blessing from above, blessings from beneath. And I want you to look at something here. These blessings, verse 26, your father's blessings, this blessing of simplicity, it's really just simplicity, fruitfulness, steady, strong fruitfulness. This is greater than all the blessings of the ancient mountains, than all the bounty of the age-old hills, that of all the things that can be done in the earth. This blessing on you and your family is greater than all of it. Greater than all of it. Children are a blessing, but you really don't appreciate how much of a blessing until you have some grandchildren. And all of a sudden, your whole perspective changes. You see, the wonderful thing about grandparents is all of them are thinking, now that I have these beautiful little grandchildren around, if they could only go back and be to their own children what they are to these grandchildren. If I could only just go back, because I was so nation building and I was so striving to do this and do that, and my kids are over here. It's not that you don't participate and enter into the lives of your children, but you can get so focused on career and building and doing things. Like Billy Graham was saying, I was so focused on that if I could just do it all over again, I would spend more time with my children. Because there is evidence of the blessing of God. I miss so much, he was saying. And you really don't see that until you have a few grandchildren around. And you see your own children now focused on their careers and focused on doing, and you just want to hold those grandchildren and just love them. Feed them a little candy and spoil them rotten. I read something the other day that said, grandchildren would be a whole lot less spoiled if you could only spank grandmothers. But fortunately, you can't spank grandmas. So they get to spoil the children. But it takes sometimes growing up to that point in your life and at that age in life to look back and say, if I could do it over, I would be to my children what I am to these grandchildren. That I would just pour myself into them more. I would spend less time concerned with career building and nation building and just love the blessings of family. That's what Billy was saying. After 90 years of life, 90 plus years, and millions of souls that had come into the kingdom of God as a result of his striving in that direction, I would set a lot of that aside, he said, and spend more time with my children. That, if I could do it over, is what I would change, he said. When Moses was out in the wilderness, and God spoke to him from the burning bush. He told him, Moses, you're going to bring my people out of Egypt and into a spacious place, a spacious land, a good and spacious place, a land that was flowing, pouring forth with milk and honey. This is where you're going to take my people. But the other thing, in fact, if you go on and read it there, when he's telling Moses this in Exodus, he's telling him, you're going to take my people into a good land, a land spacious and wide and flowing with milk and honey, but also the Canaanites, the Hittites, the Hivites, the Jebusites, the Perizzites, the Backbites, they all live there. They all live there. It's going to be a land that is wide and good and flowing with milk and honey, but there will be these oppositions. They live there already. And he was saying to Joseph that you will be a fruitful vine near a spring whose branches climb over the wall, but there will be this bitterness, and there will be this opposition and hostility against your life. It will be there because it lives there already. The land I'm taking you to, the land I'm giving you, it's going to be spacious and good, but there's already these enemies living there, so don't be surprised when hostility comes against you or when bitterness happens in your life. It already lives here, and it's going to happen. But what will be the evidence that you have been blessed of God in spite of the opposition? Is it because you have built cities? There are many city builders, Christian city builders, whose lives, personal lives, were not particularly blessed, but they did great things in the eyes of men. But what will be the evidence that your life is blessed? You will be steady and strong. Week after week, month after month, year after year, fruit will just grow up over the wall. There will be this steadiness and strength in the life of the man, in the life of the woman that is blessed of God. Even if they've never crossed the street to build a city or build a nation. Jacob, Israel, is telling his son, steadiness and strength and fruitfulness is going to be the evidence of the blessing of the Almighty God on your life. The blessing of being in the midst of your children, in the midst of your family, steady and strong. And whether other nation builders or kingdom builders look at your life from an earthly perspective, from a success perspective, and may not think that there's great success there from a worldly standpoint, makes no difference at all. Because God is saying, here's the evidence of my blessing on your life. Steadiness and strength. And just bringing fruit that grows up over the wall year after year and is harvested to feed many. Here is that evidence of blessing. Steadiness and strength. And these blessings are greater than all the blessings of the ancient mountains, than the bounty of the age-old hills. Let all these blessings rest on the head of Joseph and on the brow of the prince among his brothers. So when you're looking around you and you're looking for evidence of the blessing of God on your life and on the life of others, you know, it's one thing I've realized many, many years ago. That your reward in the kingdom of God, and that the reward that comes to those that are rewarded can be based on something very simple. Do you know that that woman who gave those two mites might be receive a greater blessing, greater reward in the kingdom of God than somebody that's building nations and building kingdoms for the glory of God? She gave all when she gave her two mites. So we need to see it a little bit differently. The evidence of the blessing of God on a life is that they are steady and they are strong. The evidence of the blessing of God on a life, whether a man or a woman, is that that man or that woman is steady and strong and brings forth fruit year after year, fruit that just grows over the wall. All of that because God's hand is upon that life. His strength is in that life. There's the evidence. God bless you.